What's up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. I'm a radio host at Sports 1140 KHDK here in Sacramento, your flagship station for the Sacramento Kings. I'm also part of the radio broadcast team for every Kings game. We have another solid one for you today. We actually have some Kings news, which hasn't been too rampant since the season ended, naturally so. But a couple pieces to get to, and then another team eliminated from the playoffs last night. Going to look at how that might affect the Kings moving forward, and a couple other things. So stick around. That's all coming up next on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone, and welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Have a good one for you today. There's some Kings news, some happenings. One of it's a little surprising. The other one's not too surprising. We've talked about it on here before and just how things would go, specifically Costa Kufis. Some Peja news. De'Aaron Fox was on the jump the other day. Had some interesting things to say. So I'm going to get to all of that and a couple other things as well. Let's get into it. No reason to mess around. Let's start with Costa Kufis. Chris Haynes of ESPN has reported that Costa is expected to exercise his option to return, his player option, for about $8.7 million. I had talked about it on previous podcasts. There was just no reason for him to turn it down, especially at his age. And I hate to get into, you know, career earnings, specific career earning numbers or anything like that, but this is a sizable enough amount that it'd be dumb to turn it down, honestly. And I feel the same way about Garrett Temple, which I'm sure we'll get that news eventually. And the thing is, I just randomly was interested. I looked up the other night, when is the deadline for opting in? And it's not till late June. So, you know, you can opt in whenever you want. I think Jeremy Lin opted into his contract for this upcoming season about halfway through last season. So there's no, you know, hurry or anything like that. But I think we all expected Costa to opt in. And I think we expect Garrett Temple to opt in as well, and Amon Shumpert, which none of them are huge game changers or anything. Solid players, solid vets. You like having them around. But they will take up about $25 million in cap space, all three of them, which, you know, it's, if for some reason the Kings miss out on, you know, getting Paul George or someone because of it, that would suck. But I doubt that's going to be the situation. So getting them back will be fine. But Costa, as I said, I don't want to get into exact numbers, but definitely a sizable enough amount that it makes sense that he would opt in. And he's only 29, so for the most part, I see him getting, you know, minimum contracts moving forward after this year. And if it's more than minimum, slightly more. The minimum for a guy like Costa, who, let's see, how many years is it? I think this will be his 10th year, will be around $2 million after next year. So he'll, you know, if he does get more than minimums, it wouldn't be, you know, more than three or four, which even that I don't see. Same thing with Garrett. Shump, we'll see. He's still young, but, you know, we've seen guys like Luke and Mbamute get minimum deals. So that might be their situation moving forward, which is why it makes sense that they would opt in. And Costa's a solid player. He's definitely a solid player. And as I mentioned, he's only 29. So after this year, he can go ring chase if he wants, or, you know, check chase, whatever it is, whatever he wants to do. But it just makes sense that he would opt in. I don't think any of us thought he wouldn't opt in. And Willie Cauley-Stein still on the team. I'm intrigued to see what happens with him. Not that they would move on or trade him or anything. He's still got one more year left, and then qualifying offers and potential free agency, etc. But, you know, I just don't know. I don't know what you do with Willie. And that's not a knock on him or anything, but he's a guy that I just, you know, I've compared him to Clint Capela, probably not as good as Clint Capela, but if Willie was on the Rockets, I think he'd be putting up great numbers and playing well also. You know, he's a guy that can be a very good contributor on a good team. And I think Costa's like that also. But bottom line is, if you can move Costa or Willie, I think they might. Just because it would clear some cap space, open up a roster spot. You got Harry Giles. You've heard me mention it all the time. I'd love to see Zach Randolph play some backup five and not power forward, but we all know how Jaeger feels about that. So we will see. And the other thing is, too, the Kings are picking, you know, top seven, top six probably, and most of those top players are centers. There's about three wings that I could see them going after, and it wouldn't be a reach to go for any of the wings. I'm talking about Michael Porter, Michael Bridges, and Miles Bridges, excuse me. And the Bridges, unrelated, but Michael and Miles are, you know, looked at as like the 10th or 11th best players in the draft. And again, things can change, and it's all opinion-based. But so, you know, taking them in the top six would be, I don't know. I don't know how much of a reach you would call it. And again, all that matters for a team like the Kings is that you get it right. You know, that's all that matters at this point. Get it right. Doesn't matter what position you take. You take a center, that's fine. Just get it right. You know, that's what matters right now. So we will see what happens with all of that, with all the centers they have, and the draft coming up, and Costa opting in, and blah, 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 and Willie Cauley-Stein's future, all that good stuff. We will see. I'm very intrigued by it. But Costa was one of the more interesting aspects of this Kings offseason, just like Garrett Temple and just like Amon Shumpert, because of all the things that go with them opting in or out. Like I said, if they all opt in, that's about $25 million in cap space you don't have anymore. Or is my math completely wrong? $27 million, actually, because I think both Garrett and Costa are making more than $8 million. And Amon will be making 11. So math on the spot, 27 million. Sorry about that. So I expect them to opt in. I expect all three of them, as we know Costa already is. But if they don't, you know, that'd be interesting if Garrett said, no, I want to go play for a contender, you know, play that Luke Richard and Mbamute role. You know, a 3-and-D guy on a contender. Shumpert, not happening. He's coming back. And I was interested as to why certain people thought that they wouldn't opt in. I know there were a lot of people who thought they definitely wouldn't want to come back and not take the money, which I thought was crazy. But who knows? Anyways, people's priorities are different. But again, Coast is young enough, so is Shump. And even Temple, who's getting up there. I mean, I think he's 32, 33, getting up there for an NBA player. But, you know, he still has plenty of legs left and will be able to continue to play moving forward. So there you go. Coast is on the roster. Deal with it. And I like Coast a lot. I think he's a solid player. But can he contribute this year a little more, or will they look to move him? And again, I don't know what you could get back for him is the problem. But we'll see. We will see. So that was one piece of news as far as the Kings were concerned. The next piece, you know, I'll let you guys react to it however you want. I just don't know. The Kings have promoted Peja. This is from Mark Spears of the Undefeated. Kings have promoted Peja Stojakovic to assistant general manager. Former King Stars role will now focus on player development, overseeing the G League Stockton Kings, and assisting with talent evaluation. The rest of the Kings front office remains the same. So, another former King who, you know, was on the team during their best years is now part of the front office. I know he was doing stuff with them before. I thought Scott Perry should have become the GM anyways, and now he's the GM in New York, as we all know. If it works out, that's awesome, and you made the right decisions, and credit to you for knowing what to do, but man, stop. Just stop taking old players from the glory days and moving them to the front office. That's just me. So I don't know. Maybe it'll work out. Maybe he doesn't have much pull as they've stated here that, you know, he's focusing on player development and overseeing the G League and assisting with talent evaluation. But I just, I don't know. I'm not with it, guys. I don't agree with bringing back old players to be part of the front office, especially when there's experienced people out there. I thought, like I just said, I thought Scott Perry should have been named GM, or, you know, at least given an incentive to stick around. But we still got Vladdy, still got Peja. I think Bobby Lee Jackson's a scout. I mean, let's name Doug Christie the coach. Shout out my man DC. He's awesome. Great dude. I filled in with him on the Grant Napier show recently, and he knows his stuff for sure. But it's just, I don't know what's going on. And maybe I'm overreacting because maybe it is a lesser role. It just seems like classic Kings. And I would much rather have, you know, an experienced front office guy in top front office positions. But like I said, maybe Pages isn't a top front office position. Maybe it's just, you know, maybe it's just news because he's a name. But anyways, maybe it all works out. Maybe he's the, you know, a prodigy in, you know, player development, and turns out, you know, he's a great future general manager. Who knows? But that's neither here nor there. I'm sure people love having Peja as part of the organization. So right on. Congrats. Welcome home. Yada, yada, yada. One more little piece of news. De'Aaron Fox recently was on The Jump. I'm not sure if I can play the whole interview. I want to, so I'm trying to figure that out. But if not, definitely go back and look at it. I believe it's on the KHTK website. They have the whole interview there. Or you can find it on ESPN.com. Or you can pretty much find it anywhere nowadays. But good stuff. I mean, De'Aaron Fox is a great kid. Still working out. Still working hard. I remember Doug Christie said this. Well, he said it, and he says it all the time. And it's true. And I would hope that players would also take this stance. But Doug Christie always said that he would work out through the finals, just in case he ever got there, so that he doesn't get there and think, oh, man, you know, I was only prepared to play 82 games, not a, you know, 100 and whatever. You know, I think the max would be 110 if every series went to 7 games, right? Yeah, something like that. So De'Aaron Fox says he's still working out every day. He's watching the playoffs. He's not yet to the point where he, you know, can't watch the playoffs because he's not there. Not yet. But he also said when he got eliminated last year from the tournament that he couldn't watch the Final Four. So maybe he'll get there. But one interesting thing he said is he picked Donovan Mitchell as his Rookie of the Year, which I could not agree with more. Look, Ben Simmons is also great, and you can't really go wrong with either one. But I think what Donovan Mitchell did is absolutely incredible for a team that was looked at as probably a lottery team coming into this year. People did not think that they would be where they were. And Donovan Mitchell is a huge part of that. I mean, he's the main part of it, honestly. Like, let's just be real. Rudy Gobert is really good, but you're not where you are without Donovan Mitchell. And the way he carried that team is incredible. Where with Simmons and the Sixers, it definitely had a lot to do with Joel Embiid also. Joel Embiid would carry the load a lot of the time, where if it wasn't Donovan Mitchell, it was no one else. So I thought that was interesting. He also was asked, you know, who is the best point guard he played against this year? And he said Damian Lillard. And the results would go that way also. He mentioned that, you know, Lillard put up 50 in 29 minutes. So it definitely makes sense. But Donovan Mitchell, great kid. Good interview. He's a guy you should be excited to have around. And I'm not going to get into it because I just praised him. So I'm not going to talk about potentially trading him. But I will say, if you're the front office, if you're not looking, turning over every stone, every single opportunity you get to see what's out there for anything, you're not doing your job. So shout out Donovan Mitchell. Shout out Donovan Mitchell and De'Aaron Fox. This is Locked On Kings. We are talking a little Kings news. As we just mentioned, they had a player opt in, hired a former player, and a current player had a nice little interview. So that's it for the Kings. We're going to take a break, come back. We'll talk a little playoff, see how that could affect the Kings moving forward, and maybe preview the the Western and Eastern Conference Finals starting next week. That's all coming up next on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just got finished talking the most recent Kings news and wanted to get to the Boston Celtics beating the Philadelphia 76ers in the second round of the playoffs, sending the Sixers home. And I don't want to diminish the Sixers because I think we might lose sight of how young they are and things like that. They should be happy with what they did. I think part of why we get fired up about it is because they're really boisterous and Joel Embiid talks trash down 3-0 and, you know, stuff like that. It's just a little annoying. But they obviously have things to work on, clearly. They have things they have to get better at, and specifically Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid also. And we all assume that, you know, some of the deficiencies that we noticed in the playoffs are things that they'll work on and get better at. But at the same time, Russell Westbrook's played the same way for 10 years. So it's not a guarantee that they'll stop taking bad shots, that Joel Embiid will, you know, continue to settle for jumpers, or, you know, Ben Simmons will add a jump shot. You know, it's not a guarantee any of that happens, that they change the way they play at all. I would expect them to. When teams do lose in the playoffs, you expect them to learn from it and hopefully, you know, try and make the appropriate changes a little bit. But at the same time, it's not a guarantee that they do. Joel Embiid, man, he's really good. He's really good. He put the team on his back at certain times, but then also, you know, Joel Embiid, the great rim protector, the, you know, awesome defensive player, probably going to get, you know, first team defense or one of the all-league teams at least. The Celtics got whatever they wanted at the rim late in the fourth. I mean, I think their last four buckets, five, however many it was, were at the rim. So where you at, JoJo? You know, where are you? I'm sure we're not going to get an Instagram post about that. And that's the thing. I don't mind the trash talking and all that and the Instagram posts and everything. But when you don't perform, you are going to get some hate. You're going to get some eye rolls. You're going to get, you know, gas bags like me mentioning it. So as long as you're willing to take the backlash, keep talking. Keep doing your thing because it is entertaining. But at the same time, a little self-awareness, you know, might help you out sometimes too. But they were getting anything they wanted at the rim. Jason Tatum, man, and all the Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell talk, Jason Tatum kind of gets overlooked, understandably so, because he is, you know, not one of the top two options on the Celtics, even with Hayward and Kyrie Irving being hurt. But that kid is nice. He is really freaking good. And shout out Danny Ainge, because something I've mentioned with the Kings or any team is the only thing that matters is you get the pick right. That's my biggest argument when people are like, well, why don't the Kings do what the Sixers did and just tank and get these, you know, these great draft picks and blah, blah, blah. Well, if you don't trust the front office to make the right picks later in the draft or in the top 10, what makes you think they'll make the right picks in the, you know, the top three in the draft? So it's more than just getting the top picks and all that. It's also player evaluation. And there's some luck involved, too. I mean, look, the Sixers, if Joel Embiid comes in and is great immediately and doesn't miss 2 years, you don't get the Ben Simmons pick. You don't get the Markelle Fultz pick because you're going to be a better team. And Ben Simmons, if Ben Simmons doesn't come in and sit out last year and Joel Embiid only plays 32 games, then you're not getting Markelle Fultz and just so on and so on. So there's a lot of luck that goes into it. And even with Boston, who've done a great job, and Danny Ainge has done a great job with this team, if he doesn't somehow get one of the most lopsided trades in all of NBA history, where he got something like a million first-round picks from the Brooklyn Nets for a couple of over-the-hill former superstars, Kevin Garnett, Jason Terry, Paul Pierce, they're not where they are right now either. So there's a lot that goes into it, but I just want, as I circle around here, back to what I was talking about, Jason Tatum's a stud. and they nailed that pick. And we all kind of laughed when they traded down from 1 to 3, but they knew who they wanted. They knew who was going to be there at 3, and they got him, and he's been awesome. And I think he would put up huge numbers on a different team that might not be a playoff team, but he would have huge numbers with a different team, and his efficiency is off the charts with the Celtics. He doesn't have to carry the load with the Celtics, so his efficiency has been incredible. So, shout out them. Entertaining series. Celtics move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Western Conference Finals are also set. Real quick with the Sixers, as I mentioned, how it might affect the Kings. Some of their free agents on the Sixers wouldn't really fit the Kings. I mean, look, Ersan Ilyasova wouldn't be a bad pickup, but I don't know how much you'd have to pay him to get him away from the Sixers. And that's the other thing with the Sixers also is, and you've heard me mention it with other teams too, don't overreact to this year. Bellinelli, Ilyasova, Redick, all very solid pickups for this year. And you made the playoffs for the first time in a long time. But don't just start throwing money around to keep these role players. Portland is my main example as to why you don't do that. And so I maybe Redick you bring back. Ilyasova, if you can get the right price. Bellinelli, I think I would let walk. Just because Bellinelli and Redick are similar, Ilyasova is a little more versatile, can play multiple positions. So if I am the Kings, I would look at Ilyasova. Redick, you know, if he played a different position, maybe, but he's a shooting guard. And again, the Kings are pretty stacked at the guard spot. So Ilyasova, you know, he can play the 3 and the 4 and even some small ball 5. Amir Johnson's a free agent again, unless there's a move that the Kings make to, you know, move some of their front court, trade some of their front court pieces. Amir Johnson's a solid vet, solid, still a solid player, but I wouldn't make any moves. I wouldn't go after him unless you clear up some of that front court. So that is where the Kings stand on Philadelphia 76ers free agents in this offseason. This is Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Come on back. We're going to do a quick preview of the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. That's coming up next. Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. We just went over the Celtics beating the 76ers in 5 games, which, again, I don't think any of us saw coming at all. But good for them. Good for them, especially without their 2 best players. Something that Doug Christie and I talked about was how much better are they with Kyrie and Hayward back? Like, I don't know. Result-wise, like, are they going to be better than the Eastern Conference Finals? I don't know. You know, maybe are there going to be 2 sweeps or something like that? You know, it's just interesting. Brad Stevens is an amazing coach, obviously. So we are getting the 2 series that we thought we'd get when the season started, kind of a roundabout way, but we ended up at the same place. Celtics-Cavs, but definitely a little less juicy than we all thought. It's going to be the Celtics without Kyrie, so that Kyrie-Cavs storyline is gone. Hayward not there. You definitely are just missing some star power. And then the Cavs, it's pretty much LeBron versus everyone. LeBron versus the world. So, should still be fun. I am not going to pick against LeBron. I've mentioned that. I've learned my lesson over the last couple years. Unless it's, you don't pick against him in the East, at least. I'll put it that way. So I have learned my lesson about that. I'm going with the Cavs just because LeBron James is LeBron James. But, you know, I didn't think the Celtics would beat the Sixers, to be honest. I'm glad they did. I wanted them to, but I did not feel confident about them doing it. So we'll see what Brad Stevens has for them. And then Rockets-Warriors, kind of a toss-up. I wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors win in 5 or... You know, a sweep is very arrogant. I would give the Rockets at least 1 game. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes 4 or 5. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes 7. I really don't know. It'll be really interesting. I think the Warriors will do everything they can to eliminate the 3-point line because that is so much of what the Rockets do. One of the big differences between the Warriors and the Rockets is the Rockets are extreme in shooting threes. They are threes or layups, that's it, nothing in between. So I think the Warriors will work hard to eliminate the three-point shot. We'll see if that works. I don't know if it will, but it's going to be a great series, and I can't wait for it. It doesn't start till Monday, though, so we have a couple of days of sitting around. So enjoy it, and you know what you can do in those couple of days? You can listen to Locked On Kings with me, Charles T. Hamlin. Thank you guys so much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with some more basketball news, some more Kings talk. So come on back tomorrow. Hopefully you will be here, because I sure as hell will be. Thanks again, guys. Peace.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.